Okay,
it was fun.
It was totally sounds like you're saying Alex.
It was definitely Alex. What aired on your end?
Yeah, I should say. So out of we haven't done these in a while.
I know, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, I can go and try to find Alex if you want. See if he's here.
Apparently, we'd rather have him. So
yeah,
go run and do that.
Jeez.
You're listening to That Church Podcast with Justin Dean and Van Baird. We help digital communicators tell the best story the church has to tell. Learn more about our conference, regional workshops, and online training and resources at thatcc.com.
Welcome to That Church Podcast, guys, where we help digital communicators tell the best story the church has to tell. Hi, I'm Van Baird. I'm one of your co-hosts and co-founders of That Church Conference, along with Justin Dean. And he and I are excited because in today's episode, it's our buddy Alec Todd with E91 Church, where he is the newly crowned communications director. Really cool story on how he got there and what he's doing. And we're going to be on the topic of leading on an all-volunteer creative team and how to best utilize blog posts in order to grow your church. So before we jump into that, and that's going to be a lot of fun, I just want to encourage all of our listeners to be sure and check out our Chicago workshop, January 17th. You can go to thatcc.com for all the information. But we're going to be at Soul City Church with a room full of church communications folks doing what we do best, which is helping digital communicators tell the best story the church has to tell. And it's a one-day intensive workshop, and our speakers are packed. It's going to be Mark McDonald from Church. He's a church brand strategist with Be Known for Something. Lauren McAllister, she's a social media manager down at First Baptist in Jacksonville, Florida. Ben Stapley is the creative arts pastor at Liquid Church, and Danny De Los Reyes, media pastor at North Place Church, is going to be leading some intensive discussions on four different topics that we're super excited to be announcing here in the near future. We're going to be broadcasting the entire day via live stream, so if you can't get into the room in Chicago, you can still go to thatcc.com. Our live stream is going to be brought to you by our friends at Tithely, who are, I mean, let's be honest, they're the innovators in church giving. So be sure and check them out at gettithe.ly, gettithe.ly. The cost for the live stream is $149, and you and your entire team can watch and soak in what our speakers will be delivering in the room. But in addition to that, we've got a few things that are coming up. After Chicago, we'll actually be in Nashville on July 14th at Cross Point Church, and then we'll have our big conference, two-day conference here in Atlanta, September 26th and 27th. And then, can you believe we're actually talking about where we're going to go in 2018 already? It just got started with 2017, but we want to hear from you. Where should we go? What city should we go to in 2018 to do our workshops? We went to San Diego already. We'll be in Chicago and Nashville. So what city should we be going to? Send us a tweet at That Church CONF. So we couldn't get That Church Conference all in one Twitter handle, but it's at That Church Conf. And if you tweet at us, let us know where you think we need to go. We'll DM you a discount code to use to either sign when you're signing up either for the workshop or for the live stream. So be sure and let us know where we should be going next year. But as I mentioned earlier, Alec Todd is our guest today, and he may be unique to some and not so much to others, as he's a one-man show in his position at E91, and he leans heavily on volunteers for his creative team. I'm sure many of you do the same, and others have, you know, a large team that's on staff. But he works really closely with the guest services team at E91, and just to create a consistent experience there, as someone that goes from online to offline, so to speak. In other words, what are they branding? What messaging are they putting out online so that when people come into their doors, it's comfortable and it's familiar? And he works really, really hard, as you'll hear, to create quality content versus spinning too many plates on his end and having that quality suffer. Hey, keep in mind, as you're listening to this, we actually recorded this back in December, so we actually talk about getting ready for Christmas, but a lot of the things they talk about preparing for that will be super applicable, because by the time this posts, you'll be getting ready for Easter, so super applicable there. So sit up, don't relax, and let's learn from our conversation with Alec Todd of E91 Church.
Hey guys, guess what? That Church Conference is still doing interviews. We know it's been a while, but we're glad to be back doing some short 20 to 30 minute interviews with people that are doing what you're doing in the church. So it's church communicators, online pastors, people that are doing graphics, people that are in the trenches of the church communications world. And so myself and Justin Dean are glad to be back. Justin, how you been, man?
I have been good. You and I have seen each other between the last interview and now. So, I mean, we're caught up, but I feel like people probably haven't seen us in a while. So we're still here. We're still active. We are still busting butt trying to get good resources for you guys.
It's amazing what a conference will take out of you and us. And so after that, we had to regroup a little bit, change some things. We updated the website and are looking forward to 2017 being really, really cool. So, but to start these things back up, start these interviews back up, we're pretty excited to have Alec Todd joining us this week. He is in a unique position in that he's just left a position of online pastor at a church, and now he's moved into communications director at E91 Church. And so we'll let him kind of fill you in on his roles and what he's going and doing in life. But Alec, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for it's always exciting to see everybody again, and thanks for doing this and getting us on. It's cool to get connected with everybody. And I just was on the phone with Jay Cranda, who's going to be talking in San Diego. And yep. I let him know if he needs an entourage just to call me up, and I can I can be that entourage if he needs me to.
Everybody wants to come to San Diego.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, it's just great to be here. And I've been in the process of transition over the last about a month or 2 months, moving from a previous role into this new communication pastor role here at E91. And E91 has been, we just celebrated our 93rd or 92nd anniversary this year. Wow. So we've been a staple in Indianapolis, which is where I do ministry here for a long time. And they're really starting to move into this next wave of ministry, which is big into why they wanted to bring me in to really revitalize and grow their brand to a high level. So my role is somewhat unique because I have a digital background, being where I came from before. But this role is much more on an overarching scale. I mean, I'm doing everything from leading the brand messaging to weekend messaging with hosting and all of that, as well as even like today we just put up wayfinding signs around the building and outside. So very different than what I was running with before, but having that overarching vision on all of it really is helpful. So I'm excited to be here and excited to be chatting with you guys today. So
awesome. We're so glad you're with us today, man, and love to learn more about what you're doing there at the new church. I want to make a distinction between what you did at the old church and this church you're moving from. Before, you were over online church, right? And now you're kind of over all communications at E91.
So online pastoring was really what I was in charge of previously, which was anything we did digitally, which there was Apple TV apps, mobile apps, our website, as well as they offered online services. Here at D91, we don't offer any online services, but we do have obviously digital content and all of that. So I've moved into a role to where I'm leading that communication department, so working with graphic designers and outsourcing with printers and doing all of that to give our brand a big core. So they've had previous departments before, but they really wanted to revitalize what they have now and get somebody in that can lead the brand messaging from a whole and then worry about the tactical stuff as the process goes. So that's how we've been sort of deciding to go where they wanted to go versus just hiring the direct needs that they have right now. They really wanted a leader in there that can do that. So,
and that's really your passion is branding, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you shared with us. That's kind of, you have a certain way of doing that.
Yeah.
That you'd like to explain. I mean, you shared with us that you think a brand package should take a snowball effect. Do you want to kind of jump into that and share what you mean by that?
Yeah. So I had the unique opportunity during the interviewing process, actually, at this place, to offer their Christmas brand for this church. So I presented that to them, but all of that coming into play, when I think of the snowball effect, you have to allow each element of your, I guess, event or whatever you're promoting, each element has to play off of each other. So both building anticipation as well as not giving away too much too quickly. I'm big into the teaser method and really building brand anticipation on the front before you have this big reveal on what it is, and then continual reveals on what is happening, especially throughout a sermon series or something. The tough part that we have in the church is that we do a really, really good job at kicking things off. But sometimes when you get in the nitty gritty or in the middle of like a 5-week series, you lose some drive. You know, week 3 is generally the most boring week out of a 5-week or 6-week series. It's just because we're not building off of each other. We spend so much time kicking things off, but then we forget. We move on to the next sermon series. So that's the different thing I wanted to do for them, specifically with Christmas, was which is the context we're in, is make it so if you miss any week in December, you feel like you missed out, or you feel like you missed a piece in that puzzle. And that's, and so hopefully this messaging will just continue to roll that way. So,
wow.
So when do you guys start y'all's Christmas series? Are y'all into it yet?
We start this week. So, okay. We had, we did a series the month of November, and then we launch into Christmas this week. So,
okay. So for those of you listening on the podcast later, we recorded this on Thursday, December the 1st. So just kind of give you guys context as far as, you know, the series. And I think we're probably all in those trenches right now, getting ready for what's probably one of the busiest, you know, certainly online seasons for the church. Tell us about your team that you've got, and then, you know, how are you getting everybody on board with that, and what kind of parts are they going to be playing as you implement the strategy?
Yeah, so currently I have the unique nature of working all volunteer and outsourced. So there's no one else with me, at least currently on staff, under my umbrella. But I have a good team of volunteers and people like that, as well as we outsource with freelance design and some web design to get some of those logistical things done. But I work really closely hand in hand with our guest service department, our connections department. So I work hand in hand with that department lead, as well as our worship pastor and our lead pastor. Really, he's not heavily involved in the trenches, but he's involved in some of the creativity side. But my, again, this whole brand as a whole idea is I want to make sure that you have a consistent experience from when you walk in to when you sit down to when you leave. So that involves guest experience, weekend service, and me quite a bit. So we meet pretty regularly. So I consider us sort of on a sub creative team, I guess. I'm not technically over them, but we work together all the time. Yeah, I mean, we're really trying to be intentional about, that's again, with this whole branding idea, is you don't have to do everything, but just do the right things well. And for us, we really had to strategically choose what we wanted to do to try to create this experience, and not do everything, but just select what we can do really well and really kill it at those things. So
that's really such an encouragement, you know, because there's such a pressure to do everything well. And so to find that niche, to stay in your lane, so to speak, and drive that home is, I think, for any size church, can be a challenge. And so with your team of volunteers, I think that's really interesting as well. So were they already in place when you got there, or how are you finding people that can have the skill sets that you need?
Yeah, I mean, I've been working through developing just job descriptions around what is needed, and then eventually, you know, transition those into paid if we have the opportunity. But building job descriptions around what our core things are. So for us, we have a couple core goals this year, and one is get people involved in life groups, and the other one is having people take the step in baptism. So those are our two big goals for the year. And we start our year in August, so it's a fiscal year. So we're right in the middle of it for us. So I sort of take those goals and then figure out, and on communication standpoint, what do we need volunteer-wise to both communicate the brand as well as attain those goals? So I'm really trying to work on photography and elevating that at a high level. We have a really cool building that's obviously been around for a little while. And so it's got some cool architecture ideas. And so we're really getting some nice photography there. We also have a really diverse group of attendees, which is awesome. So really capturing that. And then we are all also really big into the blog. I think it's one because our pastor is a writer, so he really enjoys it, as well as I enjoy the written form too. So having blog writers involved that can create some resources for families. And we're really trying to do that over Christmas. We just put one out a couple of days ago that actually performed really, really well. That was all about the top three camera apps to capture a family photo on Christmas time. So super easy and like very entry level to produce. But it's hit a ton of traction. We used an awkward family photo for the photo, so that helped. But just, I think the topic really just hits right now because everybody's going to get family photos and they're all thinking about that. And it's a pain to get the right one. And for us, it was all just, let's just meet a need for people. We didn't ask for a big ask or, you know, say, sign up for this or join in. It was just like, let's just, you know, create something for them. And if they want to come to church, they do. If they don't, that's okay. But
I think that's huge.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We hear that all the time. Churches are saying they have trouble coming up with content. And I think it's because they've siloed themselves into this, you know, little area that it has to be about the church and what we're doing. We can't talk about anything else. But I mean, what you just described could go on any blog. I mean, that could be a BuzzFeed article. Like, I think that's awesome that you're able to create content like that. And you don't have to have a big banner at the bottom or a big ask to come to church. It's just getting people into the fold of what you're doing. So that's great. I think that's a huge case study. I'd love to see more of that and actually how you guys are able to even maybe track that to say, hey, this is increasing attendance over time or this is increasing donors over time or anything like that. Are you guys tracking that kind of side of it?
Yeah, I mean, since we posted it a couple of days ago, we obviously haven't had the chance of seeing a return or ROI yet, but I'm curious to see what the buzz is from this weekend as far as who saw it. And cause I know a lot of people did. So who saw it, who enjoyed it and what that looks like. So we'll be doing some of that. And my biggest thing with all of that is, I mean, I'm somebody that like, I don't want to shove anything down anybody's throat. And Christians, like normal Christian people or Christ followers, we're not unique in the sense that, you know, we want to know what a cool camera app is to shoot a photo, or we struggle with sadness and loneliness around the holidays. And so we're searching for the same things that other people are on Google and all of those things. It's just sometimes the church feels like they have to put a Bible spin on it, where really Jesus just met people's needs. And I argue that there may have been thousands of people that saw this post and they may not come this week, but if they ever do come, I hope that because we met their needs, they come to our church because not another place is meeting those needs. For me, it's just about doing that ministry. And then even if they don't come, we've met the need and took care of people. So that's ultimately what God calls us to anyway. And whether we get the numbers in the building is another thing. So,
That's awesome. So what does that process look like to where you guys are sitting around trying to think of what are the needs and how we can meet them? Like, is that just you come up with an idea and you pitch it to someone to write the article, or you're writing it yourself, or is it kind of a team collaboration?
I would like to get just one part of your question. I like to get as many different voices as we can in that blog as best as possible. Traditionally, it's been the pastor's voice on the blog primarily, which is good, but I want them to be able to connect with lots of different types of people, women, men, young, old, all of that, different types of views. And really what I do is, I figure out what do we want to highlight. Like that was family oriented. We're going to do another blog post next week that talks about dealing with loss and grief around the holidays.
Yeah.
Because we have a really big care ministry and counseling department here. So I pitched that to our counseling team and said, will you be willing to write that? And really, I just say, hey, we want to highlight outreach, family groups, care ministry, or things like that. And so what things are you searching for, like them personally? What are they searching for around the holidays? And so I just try to think in that lens of like, I want to know what a cool app is. I want to know how to deal with not having my grandparents around for the holidays, or, I just try to think in that lens. And then I'm like, well, I assume that other people are thinking that way. And you can do it more logistically by obviously tracking keywords and whatnot too. But I just try to think in that way, like, what are most people looking for? And write a post on it and then see how it goes. And then write another one if something like that hit. I had a lot of this stuff, talking with, Chris from New Spring, and talking to him at the conference. He did that really well with their blog. Mm-hmm. And, he does keyword, creativity really well. So, he was a big inspiration on pushing forward on that stuff. So,
yeah. So for those of you listening, we'll try and put the link in the show notes. But if you want to go to the blog, it's east91st.org. So that's east91st.org and then /blog. And you can pull that up. But we'll try and get the direct link into the show notes later. That's really good. And I think a lot of churches, Justin, like you said, struggle with what to put up. But if it's just looking in the mirror, listening to the conversations around you, paying attention to what's seasonal, and just what people are talking about, even if it's not a direct post about a current event, as long as it mentions the current event, gives you a reason to put it in the, in what you're talking about, it draws people in and can drive some traffic in that you wouldn't normally get. Before we let you go, when you sign up to be a speaker to be interviewed for the blog, we do ask if you could write one blog post that you knew a million people were going to read. You had a really interesting answer about failure, which is near and dear to my heart, because I think we share the same sentiment there. But can you just talk a little bit about having a culture of failure and why that should be an okay thing?
Yeah, just the idea that failure is okay. Your job isn't, on the line. Every project you submit, and having that culture of this idea that we're all on a team together, we all have to improve. And if we're not failing, I would argue, are we trying hard enough, or trying things, ambitious enough? Because we go along the same line of, are the goals that we're looking for in the future, does God need to be involved, or can we do it? Because if God doesn't need to be involved, then we're no different than any other business. But are our goals so big that God needs to be involved, and he can come into play on that. Just with the whole failure idea, me as a leader and me as my team continues to grow, I really want to create a culture where people can try. Like, you have to try something. Like, don't sit around and not do anything. I think that's the tough part. Like, we were talking about creating content and doing things and having to feel like you have to do everything well and or nothing at all. And my biggest thing is just try it, man. Just like, right. Try. And it's not failure. It's just an opportunity. and stop worrying about this negativity that it surrounds failure. But I used to manage Urban Outfitters, and they would never say that you failed. They would say, we have an opportunity, or which was cheesy, but it was such a cool thing. As I wrote,
so that true. Down,
I started to think through that of like, it's not failure. It's just an opportunity to do it better the next time. And if you don't have a culture, or you're not leading your team in a way that they feel like they can either come to you when they do fail, or they feel like they are so afraid of failing that they won't try, then, I mean, you'll just spin your tires and eventually you won't move forward in any way, because there are churches that are moving forward. And if you're not, you know, they'll move past. So, just creating that healthy culture. And because that's what I want. I mean, that's right. The culture I want. And if I want that, I assume the people underneath me would want that too. So,
yeah, that's such a good word. It's such an encouragement, because there is a lot of pressure. And I think depending on the environment that we're living in, like, I can never meet Justin's expectations. I just can't do it. I've given up trying, and I'm a better person for it.
We'll talk offline about that.
Oh, okay.
The opportunity.
And one last thing before we let you go, and I don't think this is atypical of everybody, but you don't just do church communications. You do something else that's near and dear to my heart, as I'm going downstairs after this to make more coffee. But talk a little bit about Indie Coffee Roasters and how you're balancing doing that with what you're doing at the church.
So I started Indie Coffee in 2013. I actually started because I wanted fresh roasted coffee for Thanksgiving, that we were doing a family thing. So I went around to some coffee shops and was like, hey, do you have like a couple 2-ounce bags or something where we can do this little coffee bar thing? And they were like, yeah. So we talked through it a little bit, and the guy there was like, well, have you ever thought about doing it yourself? And it was like, one, I had no idea that it was accessible or an option.
Right.
So he was like, yeah, this is how I started. And, I started roasting on a Whirly Pop popcorn machine, outside my house in the dead of December. And, it was horrible the first time I had it. it was so cool to create something and then have the finished product. And then people wanted to buy it. And, so I grew from there, and we do probably 50 or so pounds a month right now. And we just signed on with a brewery in Indiana that is doing a coffee beer infusion thing. So signed on with them. Great. My whole thing with coffee has always just been, it's a vessel for community and communication. And so like, we don't sell any single serve. We don't sell anything below 12 ounces as far as bags, because we want to force you to share it with somebody, essentially.
Wow. That's awesome.
So
you're running that while balancing being a communications pastor over the church. That's great, man.
Yeah. And sometimes it just makes enough for me to drink as much as I drink coffee. So so it pays for the habit in a sense too. So
is it available online? Can people buy it anywhere? Or you just got to be looking?
No, we ship online. IndieCoffeeRoasters.com. We can shoot the link over there, and Indie Coffee Roasters on Instagram. So.
Nice.
Yeah, we just sent stuff, or we're about to go send stuff to Brady up at Pro Church Tools, and I can figure out how expensive it is to go to Canada. But and then Jay's been badgering me for some more, so they're over there. So,
for everybody listening, hit that up, and if you're coffee purists like some of us, it's always good to find people that appreciate it as much as we do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, man. Thanks for joining us, Alec. I appreciate it. I'm so excited about your new job, and I hope you guys make it through the holidays enjoying it and benefiting from it and getting life from it instead of it being a drudgery like it's known to be.
Yeah, right.
And stay in touch with us. We'd love, after the holidays, to see how the campaign went and maybe pull some some info from that that might be helpful for others. But
yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot.
What you're doing, man. I love it.
Thanks for having me on. It's great to chat with y'all.
Thanks for listening to That Church Podcast with Justin Dean and Van Baird. Visit us at thatcc.com for additional resources for church communicators.